We're going to go to Genesis chapter 24. If I was going to entitle this, it would be Enlighten My Eyes. Here's something I'd like for you to do at some point today or in the near future. Maybe you've done it in the not too distant past. I've done this kind of stuff. Go to a place that's very quiet and sit there for a while and then ask yourself these questions. And when you ask the questions, see how you feel, not just what you think, but your actual, as we say, gut reaction. Are you content with life? Is your cup half full? Do you see abundance? Abundance in your life now, or abundance coming to you in the future? Honestly, when I asked myself that question, my feeling, and even when I was standing here, it was like... One of the reasons why, and especially on the one, how do you view your cup, is it half full? One time I was driving along and somebody said, we was talking along this line, and how do you see your cup? And they looked at me and with all sincerity, they said, Doyle, one thing about you is you always see your cup half full. Half full of got a negative attitude all the time. I couldn't argue with them. So that was a real call. So every time that question's asked, how do you see the cup? Is it half full or is it full of what? And I always have that because I've prayed about that and asked God to make me more of a positive individual. Especially whenever it's the, do I see abundance in my future? Most of the time, honestly, no. I'm learning different because I'm reading the scriptures and I'm understanding better what the promises of God are. But I'm not alone in this kind of situation. So we're going to read, starting in chapter 24, and we're going to read verse 14 and 18. And you guys all know the story. It's Hagar and her boy Ishmael, Abraham and Sarah put their little heads together. They didn't have the child that God promised they'd have, so they just decided to have one anyway. And they put Hagar up to being the surrogate mother for Sarah. And that didn't work too good for Sarah. It didn't work too good for Hagar either. So Sarah started getting kind of abusive toward Hagar, the handmaiden, and the handmaiden fled away. Let's go to Genesis chapter 21. So Abraham finally agrees eventually that Ishmael needs to be put out of the family, out of that family group. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a bottle or a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, "Do not let me see the boy die." And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad to drink. So both of them were pushed out of the, were pushed out of the family. They were pushed into a desert situation. They were pushed out and they were deserted and they were alone. And at that point, she is sitting there and she realizes they're going to die because they've been wandering around and she's just desperate. She can't stand the thought of seeing her boy die. So she puts him underneath a bush in the shade to give him as much comfort and endurance as possible. She goes off and sits, a distance away and she's looking toward there and she starts crying out to God and God hears. But you notice it says that God heard the boy. It didn't say, Hagar, God heard you. He said, God heard the boy. And the reason it says this is because Hagar, in her desperate situation that she was in with her son, and in the turmoil that she was in, she has forgotten the promise that God had given to her. And that promise was made over in Genesis chapter 16, verses 10, 11, and 12. She was going to have this child. Sarah started being abusive. She leaves at this point on her own accord, and she's going to run away and go home just to get away from Sarah. And so she's out and she's gone. And if you start at verse 9, then the angel of the Lord said to her, that's Hagar, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be to you too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And the word Ishmael means God has heard, because, and that's why that second line there, his name shall be called Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And he shall be a wild donkey of man, and he will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all of his brothers. And so she called the name. She called upon the name of the Lord who spoke to her, and she said, thou art a God who sees. For she said, Have I even remained alive after having seen him? Therefore there was a well that's called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it's between Kadesh and Bered, or Kadesh and Barnea, as they say in some of the scriptures. Now, the reason that this is important is when we first picked up the story, which is later on, she's out there and the boy is under a bush and he's dying. She's over sitting about a bow shot away on another hillside, lamenting the fact that he's going to die. And she did not remember the promise that God had told her when he spoke to her directly. You are with child. I will multiply your multiplying. You're going to have more because of this child you're having. You are going to have many descendants. This child is going to grow up and he's going to be we would call him a jerk. He's going to be a jerk when he grows up, but he's going to dwell to the east of his brothers, and he's going to live there, and he's going to have princes for sons, and 12 nations will come out of him. And God had made her these promises, so there she was, sitting over on this hillside, when she had those promises of God. She had those very promises of God, very similar to the ones that God had given to Abraham concerning the promised son Isaac, about out of this one the world will be blessed, and out of this one you'll raise up tribes and princes and all that. She also had a son, and she was given promises about her son, that there would be a multiplying effect coming out of him. So there she was with these promises of God, and yet she didn't quite buy into them quite as much as Abraham did. So she had walked away, was going to let her son die over there. And yet the truth is, God had made a promise. He is going to grow up. He is going to have kids, and he's going to be a jerk, but he's going to grow up and he's going to live over on the east side of the country. So she's sitting there with all these promises. And you'll notice that what it says is in verse 19, the Lord opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. When you see this portrayed in the movies, you see her walk away, you hear the angel, the voice of the Lord comes. If you want to get technical, it's called the Metatron. The Metatron of God, the voice of God, speaks to her and says, he's going to survive, he's going to be a jerk, he's going to grow up, he's going to have these princes. And her eyes was open, but when you see it portrayed in a movie, she's sitting there and usually by her hand, or she sees and there's this little rock, and all at once this water starts running out as though it's a spring. It didn't say that. What it said is she was sitting there and he opened her eyes and there was a well already there. There had been a well there not too far from her all along, but she was all tied up in knots and did not see the well of water that was right there before her. Back in 16, remember, she sees all this stuff. And she names the child Ishmael because God has heard, or God hears, or God gave heed. And it says, therefore, because she says, I have remained alive after seeing him. So she saw him. Therefore, there was a well that was called Beer Lahai Roy. Thou art a God that sees me. It's also known as the well of vision of life. It can also be translated the well of him that sees me. The whole idea here, though, is she's made this statement, you give heed to me. And the way it reads in Hebrew is, says, you've given heed to me, and I have seen you, and looking beyond you, I see a well, and it's the well of the vision of life. It's the well of the vision of life. So she's saying, I've seen you, and I have lived, and behind you there's a well. It's called the well of the vision of life. And that's how that well got its name. Back into the future again in chapter 21, she's sitting there with this boy dying, and God's like, oy vey, do I have to remind you? I've made promises to you. I've made promises to you. Now open your eyes. I've talked to you. There's a well right there. Look at it. See that well? Go get some water and give it to your boy. So she does that. The eyes was opened. We have that enlightening of the eyes. It had always been there all this time, and she was suffering from heat. Her boy was dying, and there was this well, but she could not see it because she was all tied up in emotional knots. Later you'll find out the well of Beer Lahai-Roi, the well of life, the well of the vision of life, was right there. You'll find out that if you read chapter 24 and 25, that Isaac lived by the well of the vision of life. He chose to live by that well that she was the first one that saw it and the first one that was mentioned by. So we have this idea that I need to ask you about. There are times in our lives when we have promises given to us, but we are so tied up in knots that we cannot see the provision that God has already given to us, and it's just right there. We need, at those times that we're tied up into knots, to take that quiet time out and to ask God, God, you've given us promises. Will you open my eyes? Because I know that the well of the vision of life is near at hand. There are provisions already made for me, and they're right there, but I do not have the ability to see them, but I know that you've made promises, which puts us in a different boat because it's more like Abraham. Abraham's saying, I know you've made these promises and I stand by them. She had to let the boy pray, the one that the promises was made about, and God said, I heard his prayer, even though she was over there praying. This boy, who's the son of Abraham, calls out to the God of his father, and God says, I heard your boy's prayer. Now open your eyes and look and see the well. In the same way, we are the children of Abraham, and we too can call out based on those promises and just say, Jesus, Jesus, you are the vision, you are the well of life. I know your provisions are there. I can't see them. Would you open my eyes? And Jesus will listen because, remember, one of the names that she calls him is, you have heard, Ishmael, you have heard and given heed. And God will hear and gave heed. Now, the boy does grow up to be a jerk, and he does walk some distance away from his father's God. He ends up marrying an Egyptian who's not a believer. And they end up having sons, and of course they wander away. But the boy himself knew the God of Abraham, and the God of Abraham listened to the boy's prayer. We too can put ourselves in that situation if we choose by saying, yeah, I know the God. I trusted in him. I called upon him. I believe all this stuff about him. But I want to live this lifestyle over here, And I don't want to say marry out, but marry out of the faith is the idea here. And I'm wanting to go after this lifestyle and live the way the world lives rather than the way that the God of my father chooses to live. And if you do that, you're still a child of Abraham. You're still a child of God. But what are your descendants going to be like? You're going to become a jerk. And your descendants are going to be more apt to walk away from the God that you know really exists. And you're going to let your children walk down that road away from the God that actually exists, that you know exists. Another example of this is Eli, the priest that Samuel was working with. Samuel came to him and God had talked to Samuel, and Eli says, "Tell me, what did God say?" And basically, this is the paraphrased translation of it, is, "Eli, you're not going to like it, but God says you've let your kids be jerks, and you've not tried to straighten them up, and you've not tried to teach them, and there's going to come an end to your line, and it's going to be over with." And Eli said, "Whatever God says." Here is the Samuel giving him a direct message from God saying, "You've let your kids wander away from the true God, the true faith, and acting like priests are supposed to act." And the best response he can give is, "Eh, whatever." And we know that eventually his boys steal the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle. They lose the battle. They lose the Ark of the Covenant. And they come riding up and says, "Your boys have lost the Ark of the Covenant." And they've both been killed. And Eli falls over backwards and breaks his neck. The prophecy is fulfilled. Your boys are going to be wiped out. You're going to be wiped out. And disaster has come. We as children of God need to make provision along the way and seek for that vision, that well of life, that not only are we going to be blessed, but also we need to be thinking about the generation to come and let them know that there truly is a God and they need to follow after the God of their fathers. When we get in those positions that we're all tied up in knots, we need to stop and ask Jesus, "I know it's here. You've made promises. I don't see it. Would you, I'm trusting you, would you, will you quickly lead me to those provisions?" We have those words coming at us. "Get out of here. You don't belong. You're not part of this group. You're not part of this family. Leave us. Go off into a deserted place. We don't care. You have no hope. We consider you hopeless. We consider you a person who has no future. We don't care about you." And all these voices of accusation can come from without, literally. I've had friends walk out on me because I became a Christian. I survived it. We can have the voices within, and a lot of times those are the worst ones because you can't just walk away from those. They go with you no matter where you go. And you have these voices going, "You don't have a future. You're hopeless. There is no hope. Look at that future you have. It's bleak. It's out there. And it's going to catch up and destroy you." But remember this, instead of being like Ishmael, whom God did here, who after he drank, he didn't go to the well of the vision of life. He moved off. Be like Isaac. Be like Isaac. Isaac ended up dwelling by that very well, the well of the vision of life. And Isaac is the one who was most blessed by God. Ishmael was rejected even though he's the older son. Isaac is rejected because he chose to dwell. God knew he would choose to dwell by the well of the vision of life. He lived by the well of the vision of life. And don't forget this, Isaac's name is laughter. That's what Isaac translates out, laughter. So if you want a life full of joy, you want a life of abundance, you want a life with hope in your future, you don't go off after you've heard from the God of your fathers. You find the well of life and you make that your place to dwell. So when you come to this place of quietness and you ask those questions, "Am I content? How do I see that cup? Is there an abundance?" If you have chosen to dwell by Jesus Christ and the well of life, the answer is going to be affirmative. Life is content. Life will become contented if I'm not quite there yet. And I'm going to have a good life. Laughter, Isaac, I'm going to have an Isaac life, an enjoyable life, because I'm dwelling by the well of life. My cup is going to be full because I'm dwelling by the well of life. And even though there's a desert all around me, there's water right there. I can drink, my family can drink, my livestock can drink. And there's an overflowing that I can actually take water out and water the crops that need to be raised. Did you know that whenever there was a famine going on in the land of Cana, Abraham's gone, Isaac's alive. Isaac says, well, should I leave or should I go? He's debating on what to do, and God says, do not leave the land. And it was a time of famine, and God said, do not leave the land. He does not leave the land. He dwells by the well of the vision of life, and it says God blessed him 100-fold. While everybody else is over here is scrimping and scraping and starving and thirsty, he's dwelling by the well of life, and God blesses him, not just getting by, not 30, not 60. God blesses him 100-fold. And he's in the middle of a land of drought, in the middle of a land that's suffering privation and famine. Trust in the Lord. Listen, you will have abundance. Your cup will be full. You will have a contented life. If you listen, listen for the voice of God among all this accusation, among all the chatter, among all the news people going, the economy's collapsing, the world is ending, global warming, global freezing, no matter what they're saying, listen to another voice. And it's the voice of Jesus. And the voice of Jesus is saying, peace, be still. My sheep hear my voice, and I know my sheep, and they will follow me. They will follow me. Instead of getting tied up in knots like Hagar, relax, focus on just hearing that voice of God dwelling by that well and saying, get me to the well of life, and that's where I want to live. Then the answers to all your questions are always going to be yes and amen. Life is going to be good because we're going to be dwelling in the appointed place of God, even though famine's going on around us. One of the things that proves this is this communion table. We do serve open communion here. This communion table shows that Christ sacrificed himself that we can have all the blessings. It says he became poor that we might become rich. This is a representation of all the blessings that he gave. He gave us an entire abundant life because he gave up his abundant life so that we could have that life. So as we're partaking of this, ask God to take you and let you dwell by the well of abundance. It's not a physical location now. The well of abundance is Jesus Christ, and he lives within us. And he says, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I will cause rivers of living water to come out of you. Ask God to lead you to that place where Jesus is the well spring of life. Would the elders come forward, please?